ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
That we are actually in the service. And like I joked a couple of weeks back, some of us are still under our duvets. It is well. Just make sure that you are listening to the word. And make sure that you are attentive and you are not drifting in and out of sleep. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you this morning. Thank you because, Father God, it is always an awesome privilege to be in your presence, to come into your presence, to sit at your feet, to worship, to hear your word. And so, Father, this morning we commit this, our short time, even into your hands, O God. And we ask Jehovah God that your wisdom will be distilled even unto every hearer in the name of Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit, we ask, O God, that your word, O God Almighty, will make an inroad even into our lives, O Lord, and guide us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. So we continue in our series, the family series. Last week, Sunday, I talked about the family of origin. And today I'm going to be talking about family values. And I remember that one of the things I mentioned to look out for about the family of origin issue are the family values of where your spouse or your partner is coming from. So this morning we're going to be talking about family values. So let me say, I'm going to lay a foundation because I can't finish this morning. I'm laying a foundation talking about family values. So I'm going to read our scripture again. Our background text is found in Luke 14 is our background text. And you know, I was thinking, you know, how you read a scripture and then after you have finished reading, you are just like musing on it. So, Luke 14, verse 28. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So, like I said, musing on this scripture, I just realized that, you know, we can actually liken building a family to building a house or building a tower, like the scripture puts it here. We actually can liken building a family to building a house or building a tower. So, before you embark on that journey, count the cost. See whether you have enough to finish this building. See whether you have all it takes to go the long haul. And the second scripture this morning is Amos 3:3. And I read that in the NLT because it's so clear. It says, "Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction?" You know, NKJV just says, "Can two walk together lest they be agreed?" But this one says, Can two people work together without agreeing on the direction? So it's like, I'm living here now, and then I have taken someone in my car, and the person says, I want to follow you, without even asking where I'm going. Or I say, I'm going to Oregon. You say you are going to Ojota, and then you are in my car. How is that going to work? So it says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? So at the inception of your marriage, of your relationship, there has to be an agreement saying, this is where we are going. Both of us are headed in the same direction. So if I come into the relationship with you and I see that it doesn't seem like our directions match, then I quickly get down, or I quickly stop. Like we used to hear in that time, a broken courtship is better than a broken marriage. We quickly disembark from that vehicle and join ourselves to another chariot that is going somewhere else. Hallelujah. So we're talking about family values this morning. And I'm going to define, essentially, like I said, I'll just lay a foundation and then we'll continue from there another time. So family values, I'm going to give two definitions and I'm going to tell you why these definitions are so important and key. Definition one says, family values are values supposedly learned within a traditional family unit. And the traditional family unit is a man, a woman, and their children. And these are values typically of high moral standards and discipline. The second definition says, these are values, traditional or cultural values, that pertain to the family structure, function, roles, beliefs, attitudes, and ideals. So, family values, they are traditional or cultural in nature that pertain to the family structure, function, roles, beliefs, attitudes, and ideals. These values, you know, they define what is meaningful to your family. And these values sometimes, like we said, they can be traditional, for instance, or they can be cultural. For instance, the Yorubas kneel down to greet their elders, and the Igbo person does not kneel down. And you have seen cases sometimes in drama where there is intercultural marriage, and then the Igbo person is brought in and is extending their hands to an adult, and the Yoruba man is saying, this child doesn't have home training. It's not as if they don't have home training, it's just that the cultures are different. The cultures are different. So our family values, they are a reflection of who we are, of who we are, of how we parent, or how we were parented. So, you know, again, we go out sometimes and a child does something and the Yoruba says, this child doesn't have home training. They didn't teach you at all. In Yoruba, they say, omo, yo leko. In fact, they go to say, she won kwe to ogba ni, abi won kwe rara. As in, did they teach you, or you did not take the training, or they didn't even teach you at all? So, our family values are a reflection of who we are, of how we parent. How am I raising my child now? It's a reflection of my values, of how we were parented. And I'm going to now break, you know, I said family values. I want to dwell on that value matter for a bit. And what are values? Values are basic and fundamental beliefs that guide or motivate attitudes or actions. They are fundamental beliefs that guide or motivate attitudes or actions. They help us determine what is important to us. And so I give you an example of myself. When in that time when they're still single, quite a number of suitors, so to say, there was this particular guy that I really, really liked. That was before Pastor came onto the scene. So it was just about after school, actually. After school, after service. Yeah, after school. So there was this guy that I really, really liked. Of course, I was a believer by then. And I knew, I had enough sense to know that I could not marry an unbeliever. But then even in the house of God, even though everybody comes, it's not everybody that is a believer that you can marry. It's not. Even in the house of God, even in church, there are people that your values just does not align. So I remember that I really liked this guy. Interestingly, his name too was Ayo. You know? And, you know, we went on back and forth and all of that. And the major snag that I had with him was that he was not a strong believer. He used to come to church, all right. He was in church every Sunday and all of that. But at that time, even though I did not have it written down as it were, but I had enough sense to know that I could, and I told him, I said, I cannot marry somebody that is Sunday Christian. That was the only issue. I said, I can't marry a Sunday believer. I can't marry somebody that is only on Sunday we see you. After Sunday, we don't know what's happening to you. We don't even know what you are doing. So your values help you determine what is important to you. And that was so important. At that time, I had not said I was going to marry a pastor. In fact, it didn't even occur to me that it was a pastor I was going to marry. But I knew that I wasn't going to marry somebody who was a wishy-washy Christian. It was so important to me. So our values, they inform our thoughts, words, and actions. The decisions we make are a reflection of our values and our beliefs. So, again, in church, you see a lot of people, singles, please listen, you know, milling around, you know, just with no direction. It tells me sincerely that there are no values. You just don't have value for yourself. And that applies to the girl. You know, the guys are passing you from one hand to the other. You don't have values. And it's sad to say that we take this into marriage. Our values form the foundation of our lives. They are key. It's the foundation. I told you last week that in my house, my mother will ask who gave birth to you. If you were sent to school and the one thing you brought was a guy and say you want to marry, they will ask you now, are you sure I gave birth to you? Are you sure? Are you sure it is me that gave birth to you? So they are the foundation of our lives. They dictate the choices we make and determine the directions that our lives take. They are like a compass. So once you are, these are the things that are important to me. Once those things are laid down, don't worry yourself. And those things are imbibed, they are in you. Don't worry. They will direct you to, like they say, your true north. They will lead you to your true north. Our values will influence our decisions related to relationships, career, and other activities. Again, I give an example. I was a banker for right about 12 years. And I remember that at some point, by that time, you know, I came into banking at the inception of the second generation banks. So the only jobs that were available, I didn't want to do banking. I did English and then I went to do mass comm, you know. But those were the jobs that are available. So, okay, I had no choice. I went into banking. And, you know, as you were growing. So as soon as I entered, like they say, top management, I began to see things. My heart began to cut. Ha! They say, hey, you know how? God is awesome. How a branch or a bank will have two balance sheets. There were the balance sheets that were presented to CBN. And then there were the original balance sheets. So because I was head of operations, I was top management. So I began to see these things. And my heart was tender enough to say, God will not say because I have to eat. So I have to do these things. You know? I began to see different things. And I'm like, these things are not right. These things are not right. It was one of the major things why I left banking. Because I said to myself, I will not sell my soul because I want to earn money. I won't. Because at that time, the position I was occupying, I didn't have an option. I just had to do what I was told to do. So, at the end of the day, I realized that I didn't have any choice but to step aside. And of course, at that time, you didn't have any, there was no time to yourself. I used to work 7 days a week. And I was like, I joke a lot, you know, when we're in the former church, when they say some things now, I see some people now, they say, they were in this. I say, I didn't know you. I didn't see anybody because I was working. I was in church, but I was not in church. I was working literally 7 days a week. But at that time, I discovered that, no, my values, what I wanted my life to be was this. I couldn't continue this way. So I had to step aside. So our values will influence our decisions. But it's sad to say that despite this importance, few people choose their values. Few people have their values clearly spelled out. Clearly spelled out. What are your values? A lot of us have never even identified it. You know, we're just like, we're just tossed to and fro. You know, we're just like on the sea, just anywhere the wind blows you. That's where you go. We have not identified our values. And as a single person, you need to identify your values. You need to identify your values. Who am I? What do I stand for? Where am I going? What will I allow? What will I not allow? And sincerely, like I said, once you have those things mapped out, just go and rest. They will take you to where you are supposed to be or to go. So why are we talking family values this morning? Because as believers, you know, I have talked about values now. As a person, what are your values? Those values will lead you to who? They will point out to you who you can marry or who you can't marry. Again, I remember at that time a friend had a junior sister who said she had a call of God on her life. Of course, so she was looking for, you know, she had some suitors and said, no, I have a call of God. I can't marry somebody who will not allow me to, you know, to move, to flex, to do what I have to do. So when you now marry, those two values have to be aligned. I read Amos 3:3. It says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Somebody can't say, I'm going to Lekki. The other person says, I'm going to Mowe. How? So, those values, as we now come together as a family, the values have to align. We now have to raise values as a family. And particularly in these times, we need to build strong families. If you need to build strong families, then we must have family values. There are no two ways about it. We must have family values. Like I said, a lot of us do not even place importance on this. Our parents had the values, but you know, because they are not as articulated as they were not as articulated as we are now. They just knew. Some people, you ask them, why do you do this? They just say, this is how we do in our house. This is how we do in our family. They had values. They may not have been able to explain exactly how those values came about, but there were values. Howbeit, they were not, you know, written or stated out. Many people don't think about their family values until a crisis arises that forces them to make decisions that go against their beliefs. A lot of people will not, because we do not know what these values are, we make decisions that at the end of the day, we come back and say, no, but I shouldn't have done that. But you did it because you had not, you haven't thought about it. And this is something that we need to seriously sit and think about. It must be clear to people around us, the manner of people we are. And again, I say, our children must know what we stand for. It is so important now because your child, when you say, don't do this, they'll say, why? They say, mommy, why? Daddy, why? You know, we're at the age of asking questions. You have to explain to them. So, we must know. There must be no ambiguity. It cannot be either or. No, no, no. It has to be clear. People must know the manner of people we are. Jesus said that we are salt and we are light. Even so, our families must be salt. Every member of our family must be salt and light in our society. Must be salt and light in our society. I have quite a number of examples in the scripture, but I want to start, you know, and I was preparing this just as I was thinking, okay, you go through the scriptures, you see, like I said, howbeit they were not spelled out to be values, but that is what exactly they are. I want to talk about Lot this morning. I think I'll talk about that. Initially, I want to talk about Abraham, but Lot is quite short because my time is... Let's look at Genesis. Lot left Genesis 13. Genesis 12 talks about how Lot followed Abraham from Haran to Cana after Abraham's father, Terah, had died. So Lot is Abraham's nephew. So he followed Abraham. Because of course, Abraham was the only family he had. He followed Abraham. Genesis 13. Genesis 13. By the time he followed him from verse 12. You read, when you get home, read 12, chapter 12. He followed him into Canaan. And when they got there, they began to farm because that's what they do. See Genesis 13 from verse 8. It says, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you. Okay, let me back up from verse 5. It says, Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. So he too had grown. He had grown. Now the land was unable to support them, that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. He says, it's not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then the Bible, you know, when the Bible used words, just notice, it says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So imagine, I have a nephew, or I have a niece. This person, like, I brought this person up. We're talking values. I brought this person up. Under my wings, this person grew so much. We're into the same kind of business. And so it has become that we now, because my staff and this my niece's staff begin to fight. And I'll say, okay, so I'm assuming that because they live in the same house, he would have seen some things that Abraham used to do. He would have known. I'm sure Abraham would have said, God is calling me too. So he knew there was a God. And he would have seen, you know, how Abraham behaved. So we now get to the marketplace, like we say. And there are now issues between my staff and your staff and my niece's staff. And my aunt, me now, say, niece, There is no need to fight. See, this whole place is before us. Choose. A right thinking person will not say, Auntie, how far? How can you tell me to choose? Choose first now. Whatever you give me, I will take. In fact, that should have been the correct response. Whatever you give me, I will take. Knowing that this is aunt, you follow this aunt from somewhere to this place, and that aunt is part of your making. But Lot looked and saw and chose and went into Sodom. Let's look at what happened to Lot. And this is a decision. That is a value. You can see Lot's value right there and then. Genesis 19. I can't read that much because of my time. But we know what happened when Lot went into Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's quite interesting because this is what happens. When God was going to destroy this Sodom and Gomorrah, it was this same Abraham that God came back to meet and say, I have to tell, and that's one of the one value again. I'll talk about that maybe the next time when I'm talking about Abraham. He says, how can I do this thing without telling Abraham, my friend? Because I know that Abraham will keep my way and will command his children and household after. God was that sure of Abraham. So God says, Abraham, I'm going to do this and this. So I say, Father, well, God, why would you do that? Anyway, Abraham tried to intercede for them. But unfortunately, they did not meet this. Sodom and Gomorrah did not meet. So Sodom was destroyed. And you can imagine again, when they were leaving, the angel said, go, run into the... Lot was even negotiating again where he was going to go. His value system was so warped. And you can see the effect of that value system on his family. His wife looked back because they could not afford to let go of. And that is one thing. You cannot afford to let go. That's what happened to Lot initially. He saw, he took. Of course, he must have passed that to his family, because otherwise his wife would not. This place was burning with fire and brimstone. They say, go, don't look back. You still looked back. You cannot afford to let go. And when they left, of course, they said, go. He said, no, don't let me go into this small village that is close by. He went. Now, I read verse 30 and you know what the story says. Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. And his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his daughters dwelt in a cave. Two daughters that were virgins that he wanted to give to the people of Sodom so that they would not, you know, harass the men that came, the angels that came. Now imagine the way these daughters were thinking. Number 31 says, now the first one said to the younger, our father is old and there's no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. What kind of lineage were they preserving? You should know that they had descended into the very low of lows. For you to imagine, for you to have even come up with that thought. So this tells us the kind of values that Lot must have passed into his children. Values that Lot must have passed into his children. Two daughters impregnated by their father, and he did not know. That's quite amazing, actually. Because these daughters were virgin. So it would not have been a smooth ride, I'm imagining. It would have been some, you know, and he did not know. Or maybe he chose not to be aware. I'm thinking out loud. Praise the Lord. So our values. I end with a quote that we hear these days. We hear it a lot. It says, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And that is exactly it. When you have values, you're telling people, this is what I stand for. This is what I stand for. But if you don't stand for anything, if they don't say, they bring this one, you take. They bring that one, you take. You will fall for anything. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, because you are our God and you are a God of wisdom. And Lord, we ask this morning, even as we have started on this path, on this topic, we ask Jehovah God that you expound your words in our hearts. And Lord, that beyond what any man will say, Lord God Almighty, that you would open our eyes to see the importance, O God Almighty, of our value system, even as families, as individuals, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we pray.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,